Derek Chauvin guilty on all counts. Black Lives Matter says, nope, still not enough for us. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris claim the system has to be reformed, even after it worked exactly the way it's supposed to. And a situation in Louisiana might explain what the real problem is. What's that all about?
It's all about Alabama, Hollywood, rock and roll, eating good, sports in the deep south, news from the White House, indiscretion, big stupid questions, and all things extracurricular, AM, FM, and online, on Talk 99.5, it's a show about every damn thing, and nothing in particular. You're listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk. 99.5.
Hello, 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 me lovelies. Thank you very much for tuning in. Glad to have you here. It's Wednesday. And my attorney, Chuck Davis, says, howdy. Saw him yesterday afternoon, chatted with him about a wide variety of subjects, not the least of which is his fantastic work in the law and his long and storied career, which is going to continue to be long and storied. He's not giving up anytime soon. He's not quitting anytime soon. He is going to keep going. If I know this guy, he's going to go until he drops dead at his desk, which will hopefully be a long time from now. You say, well, great. What does he specialize in? What does he do? What kind of law does he practice? Is a pretty common thing. Oh, you know, he's a lawyer. Really? What kind of law? Well, in the case of Chuck Davis, he would be what we call a general practice lawyer. He's a guy who handles, you know, civil things like, a divorce. He can get you divorced. He can work on your custody situation. Wills, he's doing $99 simple wills right now. Estates, contracts, real estate stuff. If somebody is coming after you and saying that you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing, he can help you through that situation as well. And then, of course, he does the personal injury stuff like a wrongful death, vehicle accidents, slip and fall cases, medical malpractice. So any and all of these things he can handle. And the best way to find out whether or not you have a case is to call and make an appointment with him. It will cost you nothing for your initial consultation. 823-9992 or ChuckDavisLaw.com. Get in touch with him, make an appointment, and the next thing you know, you're sitting in front of Chuck Davis telling him your story, and he's telling you whether or not you have a case. Doesn't work any better than that, huh? Chuck Davis Law. He's my lawyer. He should be yours. 823-9992. No representation is made that the legal service provider is superior to legal service provided by other attorneys. Okay. Let's get into it. The Derek Chauvin trial. I don't know if this is a common take. I really don't know. I really haven't listened to a whole lot of analysis since it happened. I heard Leland a little bit last night. I heard very little of the morning show, and I heard a little bit of Dale there. But I've been otherwise engaged in other things that have been taking up my life. And they're all good. Nothing bad is happening. But, you know, other things that have been taking up my life. And so I haven't had the opportunity to really find out what people are saying or thinking about this, which means that my opinion is informed by absolutely nobody else except my opinion. Now, here is my opinion. In the Ferguson, Missouri situation, remember this? Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. It was decided that the police officer in that case was not going to face charges once we got all the evidence. And there was, in fact, a Department of Justice investigation that reached the same conclusion that the district attorneys and the grand jury reached when they did the investigation and got all the evidence. And this was, once again, the Obama Justice Department did the investigation and came to the conclusion in no way, shape, or form was Michael Brown on his knees with his hands up saying, don't shoot me. He was, in fact, charging an officer who had his gun drawn and got shot that way as he was attempting to attack an officer whom he had already had a physical altercation with moments before. Flash forward to Freddie Gray. Remember Freddie Gray? That was in Baltimore. Police went to arrest Freddie Gray. He ran from them. They managed to get him, tackled him. He refused to cooperate, would not get in the squad car. They had to call the paddy wagon. They had to chain him up and put him in the vehicle. He then decided that he was going to stand up despite being chained up while the wagon was on its way back to the precinct office. And he fell over and he broke his neck and he hurt himself very badly and ended up dying in custody. But not because the police officers did anything, because Freddie Gray was stupid. Now you say, well, how dare you say that, Richard? I'll tell you how I dare say that. Six police officers, six were charged with his death. Six were charged. Three of them actually ended up going to trial. The first ended up with a hung jury, majority voting in favor of not guilty. The second one had the charges dismissed by a judge who said, yeah, there's nothing to see here. And the third one was found not guilty by a judge, and they finally decided to drop the charges against the other three because they couldn't make the case. Why? Because the evidence showed that what they said happened, what the police said happened, actually happened. Now, in this case, in the George Floyd case, and yes, I'm skipping over a couple of police shootings and situations because, you know, we're just hitting the high points here, all right? In this particular case, you had about as full a trial. Now, if I'd had my druthers, I would have gotten a change of venue. I would have, you know, really to another, like maybe a northern part of Minnesota, you know, someplace that was a little bit more in the wild where they weren't paying attention to the news. I think I would have gotten it out of Minneapolis if I'd had the choice. But you had a prosecutor who was able to call up multiple current and former members of the Minneapolis Police Department who testified that what Derek Chauvin had done to George Floyd was not policy and was not supposed to happen. And no, he shouldn't have done that. And the reason he shouldn't have done that is it could feasibly lead to the death of somebody in custody. Okay? So you had a prosecution that put together a really well-reasoned, well-focused, and really well-built case. And then you had a defense that got up and gave its best shot at poking holes and trying to find somebody among these 12, six white, six black jurors, who would say, well, I'm just not convinced of the guilt. In 10 hours, 12 people came back with a unanimous verdict of guilty on all three counts. Now, please don't start with me on the whole, how could he be guilty of third degree and second degree manslaughter and second degree? There are different factions of each different charge. And by the way, it's different in every state. It is, because these are state charges. Second degree murder in New York might not be the same as second degree murder in Minneapolis or Minnesota. Second-degree manslaughter in California might be different than second-degree manslaughter in Minnesota. So, you know, they have their own way of doing things. The judge, in his instructions, told them, you can find him guilty on all of these. You can find him guilty on none of these. You know, you can find him guilty on some of these. The jury was fully instructed. If I am going to believe in the grand jury in Ferguson and say, I think they had all the facts and I think they made the right decision. Knowing full well, by the way, that Ferguson was going to be in flames that night. If I'm going to believe in the hung jury, majority not guilty, in the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore, knowing full well that Baltimore was going to be in flames that night after they came back with a hung verdict, and I'm going to believe in two judges, one of whom dismissed charges, meaning there's nothing to see here, and one of whom found the defendant not guilty in the Freddie Gray case. If I'm going to believe in the six-person jury, once again, mixed race, mixed sexes, in the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case, and they came back with not guilty on both counts. If I'm going to believe that they got all the facts and they came back with the verdicts they came back with, and I do, how is it possible for me to look at the Derek Chauvin case and say, oh, well, you know, this jury was somehow tainted. This jury was somehow. I think that they got the information. I think they took everything in that they had. I think that events mounted a not very good case. Not to say that there was much to mount. That may have been the problem. I mean, you got a 9.5-minute video of a guy kneeling on a man's neck. And let me tell you something. Here's the kicker. This is the one that I guarantee got the jury. You had somebody check George Floyd's pulse. There was no pulse. And he was not breathing, and Derek Chauvin kept his knee on George Floyd's neck for the next 90 seconds, despite knowing that. I guarantee that's the kicker that made even the most reticent juror say, yeah, I got to think that that's murder. Because there are a couple of different ways that you can murder somebody. One is to actively kill them. They're alive. Now I'm doing something and I'm causing their death. Pushing them out a window, strangling them, stabbing them, shooting them. But enough of my fantasies. No, the other way that you can kill somebody is, let's say, you know somebody has a peanut allergy. And you know that there's peanuts in the brownie they're about to eat, and you have an EpiPen, and they eat that brownie, and then they go into anaphylactic shock, and you don't use that EpiPen. Even though you have it, you know the facts, you know that there's nuts in that brownie, you know that they have a nut allergy, you have an EpiPen, and you do nothing. You are just as responsible for their death because you did absolutely nothing to stop it. Especially if you're a police officer. If you're a police officer, you are sworn to actually begin medical aid while waiting on the ambulance that was on the way and taking far too long to get there. I think that's really what kicked the jury over. So I hear this jury verdict and I say, look, if I'm going to accept the Ferguson grand jury, I'm going to accept the Zimmerman jury, I'm going to accept the Freddie Gray hung jury, I got to take the Floyd jury. I'm not going to assume that there was a bunch of funny business going on here. Now, you can argue with me all you want, and I welcome your calls, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I know there are going to be people who are trying to sell the concept. Well, this one is different. This one is different. You're going to have to work on persuading me that this one is different. I just don't think it is. I think you had a situation where the jury got all the information. The prosecution mounted a masterful case. The defense had very little to work with. What they had was a toxicology report that showed that George Floyd had a bunch of drugs in his system, and he did. And had he been taken to the precinct and booked and not treated in any way, rather than, you know, having been laid on the ground and had a knee on his neck for 9.5 minutes, if instead he'd gotten in the car, he'd been taken to the precinct, and he'd been booked and ended up in a cell, and he had died, then you could say without question that was George Floyd's fault. You could say without question, George Floyd did that. He's the one who killed himself, for sure. Under these circumstances, you can't say that, can you? I wasn't in that room. I wasn't with the jury. I didn't even watch the trial. I know precious little about what took place at it. All I know is I trust the jury system, and I trusted it in this case. And I got to believe the jury came up with the right verdict, given the circumstances and given the information that they had. That's all I could say on the subject. Now, if you want to argue with me, feel free. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. We will get this show up and lumbering under its own weight with a big stupid question of the day momentarily. Stick around. It's all Prince today, but it's all just this song. If you listen
David
to
messed the up. He hit if the you
It's okay. It's a completely different show, David. We've got totally different listeners.
Totally different. And also, I now am vaccinated, so it could be the chip is making me just play this song the entire day.
That's it. You got the chip. Hey, speaking of which, Pfizer vaccine is going to be available at Walmart for walk-ins. The one that I noted, I think there's one in Hoover. There is one, the one on Lakeshore, and the one down in Pelham, all on April the 24th, which is Saturday. You can schedule a vaccination online, or you can actually just walk in and go, yeah, give me that vaccine. And apparently you fill out some paperwork and they jab you, and then they schedule the second one for a month later. So we're really at a point now where if you're not vaccinated, it's because you don't want to be. I mean, if we're doing walk-in at this point, it's probably safe to say that if you're not vaccinated, it's because you're not interested in being vaccinated. And I understand that, by the way. You know, one of the things about herd immunity is that everybody doesn't have to be vaccinated. I think it's safe to say once you get to 2/3, 3/4 of the population, and they say about 1 out of 5 people say, I don't want the vaccine, I'm going to take the vaccine, I want nothing to do with the vaccine. Fine. So 20% of the population doesn't get vaccinated. But for the most part, it's safe to say that that's still going to be enough, 80% of the population being vaccinated. You know, it will hit herd immunity even sooner. This is how Texas, which dropped its mask mandate and opened everything fully 40 days ago, still manages to have a low number of cases that are staying very stable, and they'll eventually drop down to nothing as more people get vaccinated and more people will have come through this, you know, COVID and be fine on the other side. Believe it or not, people are still getting it. I know, right? There's people still getting it. I know somebody who just got over it. I was like, well, that's so last year, man. That's so 2020. Come on. What's your deal? For people who never got it, good for you. Congratulations. For those of you who had it and got through it, like me, for me, wasn't terrible. Ted Nugent had a much worse experience, according to something I read. I know people who struggled with it mightily and had to be hospitalized, and it was terrible, and I'm sorry about that. But the good news is we're very much on the tail end of this, despite the fact that there are those out there who are going to try to continue to keep the crisis going for as long as possible for the ever-popular political purposes. If you're looking to get a little practice in, make sure that you're hitting what you're aiming at. Try to get that point-and-shoot thing going that I managed to master a while back. Sentinel Firearms, the place you need to go. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us. They have the shooting lanes. They have firearms available for rent in case you don't have one. They have some that they sell in case you want to buy one. They have got, they got ARs and they got XMs. They've got shotguns. They've got handguns. Hurry while they're still in stock. They also have accessories and people who can put those accessories on or show you how to use them, plus gunsmithing. It's all right there at 906 North 40th Street, Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us. The proud sponsor of...
The big stupid question of the day.
Here it is. What is the worst movie ever made? The worst movie ever made. I gotta say, I love some of the answers I'm getting on social media here. Because some of them are incredibly detailed in terms of how, you know, this is the absolute worst movie ever. I think one of them was like The Howling 7. There it is. The Howling Part 7, New Blood Rising. Somebody's done some research on this. I got to tell you something. If I'm scrolling through the channels, which I don't do anymore because I ain't got no cable, but if I'm scrolling through the channels and I see The Howling Part 7, New Blood Rising, I'm probably going to pause for a second. I've seen The Howling. You know, I know the original. I'm going to pause and say, how far have we fallen to get to part 7 here? And I didn't even know there was a part 7. I knew there was a Howling 2. I think I remember a Howling 3. I didn't know they got to 7. This is the desperate milking of a franchise. We're not talking Fast and Furious here with Vin Diesel and The Rock. This is The Howling. It didn't have any stars in the first one.
Man, all right, it did. You can go it down did. That road with all of them. Hellraiser, Children of, or not Children of the Corn, Pumpkinhead.
No, Children of the Corn had some bad follow-ups. I know there was at least a 3 that it was awful.
You're talking to a man who willingly subjects himself to bad movies
I love
the time.
It. Oh, yeah.
I love Mystery Science Theater 3000. I love Riff Trax. And some of the ones they find are absolutely horrendous. Suburban Sasquatch. Roller Gator. Yeah.
What about
not
Troll
Octoman.
2?
Oh, Troll 2, one of the worst movies of all time. Manos, The Hands of Fate, Plan 9
Manos.
From Outer Space. I've seen
Manos, The
of
Hands
movies.
Of Fate is hilarious because Manos itself means hands. So you're saying hands, The Hands of Fate.
Exactly.
shot on a camera that could only shoot 30 seconds at a time. So there's no shot in the entire movie that is longer than 30 seconds.
And it had no microphone. So
no microphones.
The guy and his wife dubbed all the voices for everyone.
Oh, my God.
Fertilizer salesman in Texas. Yeah, I can make a movie.
Why not? There's some really bad ones out there. But some of them are so bad they're good. You know, I mean, Plan 9 from Outer Space, I watch it for the enjoyment. I owned a copy of it at one point, lost it in the divorce, of course. But, I used to actually just pop that in sometimes around Halloween and just be like, revel in the badness.
Stupid humans.
Bunny. I love Bunny. I love the wrestler, Tor Johnson, the Swedish wrestler, walking through the graveyard and accidentally knocking over a cardboard tombstone that you can now see very clearly as cardboard. I mean, this is good stuff, man. This is good stuff. Ed Wood made some quality bad films. But then there are those movies, they want to be good. Oh, they want to be good so bad. They're trying so hard to be good. And you're watching them and you're like, somebody watched this and thought,
I could be up for an Oscar. The Room being a perfect example.
Tommy Wiseau, oh my gosh.
He thought that that was a good movie. I mean, he really thought he was making a great movie. And when he got done, he had to make sure that it got released in L.A. during a certain period of time because he wanted it to be available for Oscar contention. And it's like, who's watching this and thinking this is going to get an Oscar nod at all? Apparently,
oh,
Tommy
hi,
did.
Mark.
Hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Mark.
I did not hit her.
This is BS. I did not hit her.
Oh, hi, Mark.
So much football being thrown around.
The chicken, it's almost as bad as the Bluth family in Arrested Development. Like, neither of them know what a chicken sounds like.
Good times, good times. Anyway, that's a bad movie. You may have your own version of it. 545-9950-844-455-9950. Darren is in Birmingham with an advertisement for a car show. Always interested in local activities taking place. Hurry, Darren, what do you got for me?
Thanks for taking my call. I love Hoover Day, Festival and Car Show, Saturday morning. So hopefully everyone can come out for something positive. I love Hoover Day.
And I love Hoover Day. Is that down in Veterans Park again?
Yes, sir. You're correct. And also Defenders and also Smith & Hawkins guy. So please enjoy it and have a good day.
The world's largest apple cobbler or something is made there. Apple pie, apple cobbler, something like that. They've been doing it for a long time. Love it, Darren. Thank you for the call, man. I'm going to be judging the Guinness Chili Cook-Off, which is at the Beer Hog. And you can show up somewhere around, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and start walking around sampling some of this chili. It's pretty cool because there's a People's Choice thing, but I think you got to pay to get in. I don't know. I'm a judge. I don't have to pay for nothing. I'm special. Haven't you heard? All right, first news time. Richard Dixon, TalkTheNet5, TalkTheNet5.com. This is my Prince, okay? Prince passed away tragically 5 years ago on this day. Prince was a Jehovah's Witness, and they did not believe in blood transfusions. So he had a hip problem. He was going to have surgery on his hip, but they, in order to do the surgery, and it may very well have been the exact same surgery that SHG had, I don't know. He may have been getting a hip replacement, I'm not sure. But he had a real hip problem, and he was trying to save up his own blood, enough of his own blood, that they could use it to replenish if there were problems during the operation, because there are blood transfusions involved in such a thing. And during that process, he kept taking more and more opioids to help with the pain. He continued to tour. I think he had a gig like two nights. He played a gig two nights before he tragically was found passed away in his own elevator at his own compound. That was the real problem here, is that he was trying to save up his own blood so that he could have the operation, which would have gotten him out of pain, which would have kept him from taking the opioids. Prince, not really a big drug guy, at least not the way I understand it. And I kind of grew up on his music and saw him at First Avenue. Back before, you know, anybody knew who he was a kid. He had a band, and they put on a show, and everything you saw in Purple Rain was real, including the place that they did it, which was called First Avenue. It was a really big place in Minneapolis, and that was where we used to sneak in. Well, let's put it this way. The door people knew us, and they didn't really seem to care that we were 14. It didn't really matter to them. I looked really old. I mean, I was able to actually go up and get a beer at 14. Nobody even looked twice at me because I was 6 feet tall and I had, a full beard. So, yeah. Anyway, Controversy was one of the early ones, that and I Want to Be Your Lover and a couple of others that you might recognize. That was one of the early ones that we actually got to see him working out a little bit at First Avenue, and then eventually went on to great success with Warner Brothers at the tender age of 19. Passed away 5 years ago today, and the world is poorer for it. 12:34, I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk 99.5 and Talk99.5.com. I can't say enough about how much I love the fact that I don't mow my own lawn. Look, there was a come-to-terms situation with it. There really was. I mean, I guess I fought for maybe 3/4 of a year because I had the mower. I had the ability to do the mowing, And I didn't, you know, I would sometimes wait longer than I should have, and I would end up mowing, and it would be hard because the grass was too long, because I'd put it off for so long, because I slowly came to the realization, I don't like doing this anymore. I used to love it. I don't like it anymore. I don't want to do it. And so I finally caved in, and I hired someone else to do it for me. And boy, I thought the guilt feelings were going to be overwhelming, but the reality is once I saw the job that was done by Chance Landscaping and so much more, I looked at it, I said, I've been mowing lawns since I was 14 years old. Really younger. I don't think I've ever made a lawn look that good, ever. Seriously. The mowing, the trimming, the edging, the trimming of the shrubs, the shrubbery, the hedges, whatever it is you need done. And then the cleanup afterward, and it's so fast, and then when they give you the estimate on what you should pay, you're going to go, I should have done this years ago. Why didn't I call years ago? And you're not going to have an answer. Chance Landscaping and so much more. 205-821-7015. 205-821-7015. Let us go to Greg in Lay Lake. He once again wants to improve. He wanted to improve our website before. Now wants to improve our app. You know, I don't know how many times I can tell you this, Greg. It's all corporate stuff. We don't get to control any right. of that here.
Yeah, so, yeah, David told me that today. He didn't tell me that yesterday, but... So the first thing you should do is hire Jay St. Clair to sue Citadel so that you can get control of the apps.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Then, I'm sure I'll be employed for a long time after that.
Mm-hmm. So it would be really cool if the app, I don't know, had a link to the podcast inside the app mm-hmm. so you can mm-hmm. get the mm-hmm. podcast while you're in the app.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Also, mm-hmm. your podcasts are on Spotify. No, they're on iHeartRadio, but they're not on Spotify. And then Matt and Val are on Spotify, but they're not on iHeartRadio. So,
well, this whole thing's just a mess, isn't it? This is a disaster. David, fix that. Right. Listen to what Greg is telling you and fix that. Do it now. What are you waiting for?
Okay, and I just want to answer the big stupid question of the day.
Worst movie ever made. What do you got?
Yes, Royal Tenenbaums, you know, it even received awards, and it was just a horrible movie. I can't remember. Someone got their arm or hand cut off by an axe while they're cutting a piece of wood, and it was awful.
She lost Wes, fingers. She lost fingers.
Yeah. Wes fingers, Anderson okay. makes a certain kind of movie, and either you like that kind of movie or you don't, and you clearly fall into the don't category.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I love Owen Wilson, and, you know, man, you know, they're awesome, but then, you know, it's just horrible.
That movie just did not work for you. I understand. Hey, it's right. not for everybody, for sure. Thank you for the call, Greg. I appreciate
Thanks.
It. I liked Gene Hackman in that film. I thought Danny Glover was good. Angelica Houston. It is a very slow-moving movie. Out of all the Wes Anderson films, and I haven't seen them all, so I could be, you know, jumping to conclusions here. But out of all the Wes Anderson films that I have seen, The Aquatic Life with Steve Zissou, I rather like that one. It's got Jeff Goldblum in it, it's got Bill Murray in it. Again, Angelica Houston pops up. He tends to work with the same people over and over again. And I don't know, I thought it was a good film. It still has that sort of Wes Anderson trademark, deadpan delivery, slow-moving, but still entertaining. Outside of that, I think SNL did an absolutely fabulous parody of Wes Anderson, and I'm trying to remember, maybe David can help me, was it a Wes Anderson Christmas special or
a Wes Anderson horror film?
Horror film, that's what it was.
was the host that week.
It was really funny, and it was very well done. And if I were Wes Anderson, I would have watched that, and I would have said, oh, they nailed it. They got it. they got exactly what I was going for here. It was good. Check it out. You can find it on YouTube, I think. Ken is in Irondale with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Worst movie ever made, Ken. What do you got?
It was Jackie. The movie about Jackie Kennedy. It was so bad that I couldn't even watch the rest of it because it started, you know, with the assassination of President Kennedy, and then they had Lyndon Johnson taking over. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even... and this is where Hollywood once again contradicts itself. You know, they're let's tolerate everybody and everything, and let's all get along, and let's, you know, love and all this kind of stuff. And Lyndon Johnson didn't even have a Southern accent. He almost sounded like a Yankee. and it was, you know, I don't know if the guy was supposed to look like, they found a guy who looked like Lyndon Johnson. They said, you'll do, just be Lyndon Johnson. But it was such a horrible portrayal.
Do you remember who played Jackie Kennedy in that? I'm trying to remember because I seem to recall.
The movie was so bad, I don't even, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a bad operation and your body forgets exactly how painful it was.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If that didn't happen, no woman would ever have a second child, let's face it.
Yeah, but it was...
rather not.
It was the worst movie, and I didn't, you know, and I just turned it off.
Are you talking about the one with Natalie Portman that came out in 2016?
I think so.
Okay.
Natalie Portman. Okay, that explains it. Yes. All right. Sure. Hey, look, trying to get presidents, nail presidents, is difficult. For instance, you know, 12, what was it? The Butler with Forrest Whitaker. I mean, it's a pretty good film, but they had Alan Rickman playing Ronald Reagan. It was awful. It was like, what are you doing? First off, why'd we get a British guy? Secondly, yeah. He's not handling the voice well at all. He only had a minor scene in it, but it was just like, well, you get the wrong guy to play that role. You could have found any number of people who would have been significantly better. John Cusack as Richard Nixon. Again, weird. Just some weird casting in that. But not a bad movie overall, so I shouldn't put it in the same category. Nonetheless, thank you, Ken.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the call. Have a good one. 12:41 our time. Let's take a quick break. We'll hurry back. Nobody wants to talk about the Chauvin verdict? Like, nobody cares? I guess, is it out of our system now? We got it yesterday? Or do we kind of feel like, it's done. Things worked out. Nobody's cities are in flame. Now, we can talk about, you know, the follow-ups, because we had some really stupid stuff that was coming as a response to that. We had Black Lives Matter, you know, continuing to try. And then we're going to burn this thing down. And it's okay. See, the system worked. You got what you wanted. It also worked, by the way, in the Michael Brown case in Ferguson. It worked very well in the Trayvon Martin case down in Florida. It worked in the it worked in the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore. You know, it just didn't go the way you wanted it to, but it went the way it was supposed to because everybody had all the facts and the decisions were made properly. And I think that's what happened with this case as well. But now, feeling emboldened, Black Lives Matter feels like they have to go out and create more havoc. I don't think it was the riots that did this. I really don't. I think two things made this happen when it comes to the Derek Chauvin trial and verdict. Number one, you had somebody who videoed the entire thing, 9.5 minutes of Derek Chauvin leading, kneeling on George Floyd's neck, okay? You had 9.5 minutes of video. That created outrage across the country, which then led to the firing of these police officers, which then led to the charging of these police officers. Riots were immaterial. They weren't necessary, okay? All they did was damage a lot of stuff and put some people out of business. It was terrible. And then you had the facts of the case. And when the facts of the case came out, and when you had the people who were there who were able to testify, this is what happened, this is what I saw, this is how it went down, those are the two things, the facts of the case and the video. Those are the two things that led to Derek Chauvin being arrested and tried and eventually found guilty. I don't think the protests had a damn thing to do with it. Now, I could be all wet on that, and you are welcome to argue with me about that all you want. That's why we have the Birmingham Broker phone line, 545-9950, 1243. Back in a moment. Stick around. When Prince passed away 5 years ago, they said they found so much unreleased stuff in his personal library that they could release Prince albums from now until the end of time at the rate of one a year and never run out of material. But they opted really not to do that because they said if Prince kept it for himself and wasn't releasing it, it's because it wasn't up to his standards and he wasn't happy with it, which wasn't unusual. He had an album called The Black Album that he scrapped entirely because he just said, this isn't what I want to put out. And it ended up going on the shelf, and we never heard anything more of it. It's amazing stuff there. Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover. Good early Prince. Love it. 1249, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com. I know of a guy. It was all about changing his own oil. He loved changing his own oil. I was not that big a fan. I mean, I did it, but I stopped doing it at some point. But this guy, He used to go on and on. Oh, look at all the money I'm saving. I'm changing my own oil. Fine. That's all well and good. Until you screw up. You put the wrong amount of oil in, which he did. Your engine seizes up, which it did. And now it costs you lots and lots of money. Sometimes there are things that are best left to professionals. And here is a perfect example of that. When you decide you're going to just go embark on a home shopping spree yourself, you're going to go find the house, you're going to put the offer down on the house, and you're going to work all this without a real estate agent, and you think you're saving money. No, you're not. You're really not. First off, you might be paying too much for that house. You might not even get a chance to get into that house because, the market is tight right now. It's very, very tight right now. Plus, selling your own house, good Lord, do you know where to price that thing? Do you know how much you could get out of it? Do you know how much more you could get out of it if it was staged properly and marketed to the right people? This is why you need my real estate agent, Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865. Don't fall into that trap. You'll lose a bunch of money if you don't do it right. Back to the phones we go, the Birmingham Broker phone line. It's David and Vestivia with an answer to the big stupid question. Worst movie ever made. What do you got, David?
The worst movie ever made was The Swimmer. Starred Burt Lancaster.
I know the film. I remember it well. He decided to swim in people's backyard pools all the way to his home. And then when he got there, it was a big surprise. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I think the state he was swimming in the backyard, it was in the state of Massachusetts.
Was it in Massachusetts?
I think it was the state of Massachusetts. Well, I only watched it one time.
And you didn't care for it. All right. You're welcome to your opinion.
I think the movie pretty much sucks.
Well, there you go. All right, David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You were welcome to your opinion. I didn't hate it. I thought it was kind of interesting. Misty is up next in Remlap. Misty, you're on Talk 99.5.
Yes.
What's going on? Hey.
I believe that District 9 is the worst movie.
District 9. I've never made it all the way through that film. It seems like I always have something
because
else that needs
horrible.
To be. I'm not turning it off because it's bad. I don't even know how bad it is because I haven't made it more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes in. Then I get called away for something and I never get back to it. So, yeah, it's about insects, aliens, right, that are sort of insect-like.
Yes.
that come to our planet, and then we treat them like second-class citizens and things of that nature, something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
But my husband and I agree that it's the worst movie ever.
Well, then it must be terrible. If you both agree, that's the end of that. The conversation is over. Misty and her husband have spoken. The end.
Exactly.
I love it, Misty.
The end.
Thank you for the call. How often, by the way, do you get a husband and wife to agree on something like that? So you got to give them props for that. Karen is on a cell phone, wants to talk about something other than movies. Let's talk about Derek Chauvin. Let's talk about the riots. What's on your mind, Karen?
Good afternoon. Yes, I've been listening to you just about every day. And I wanted to give my opinion of all that, and of course it's my opinion.
Sure.
But when you come right down to it, both of the situations involving members of law enforcement, the situations were not caused by the officers. The situation started one of them run from the law a couple of nights before, and then a 16-year veteran in the police office in service stopped them, and then they resisted arrest too, and they were fighting with her. You could see that on her video.
Who are we talking about here? Give me a hint, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, the gentleman that the officer is being accused of murdering.
Are you talking about George Floyd?
No.
Okay. Karen, I got to let you go.
But
this is just, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You're all over the map. And if you can kind of focus and get some something a little bit more clearer line, but you just took 90 minutes of time and made a statement that I didn't understand and I don't think anybody else did either. So see if we can't gather our thoughts before we come on the radio and try to be clear and straightforward about what it is we're trying to say, okay? 545-9950-844-455-9950. Yes, BLM still wants to abolish the police. Interestingly, when a poll was done by Rasmussen, what do you think we should replace the police with? Nobody seemed to have an answer. We got to abolish the police. And then what are we going to do to make sure that peace is kept?
I don't know. I hadn't thought that far.
Ah, you're a genius. Back in a moment. It's First News Time. Stick around.